This is Lewis McDonald for the Open University discussing the best and worst designs of Disneyland Paris Park. I've discussed it with my girlfriend Paris, and it's just a discussion of a few great designs we think are in the park and a few things we just improve. Nothing too in detail, just a slight discussion on what she thought more than what I thought and how she perceived design. It's nothing too in detail or major, it's just a discussion on what we thought, and a lot of it we did agree on. Some of it was quite surprising. Yeah, here we go. Hello, so I'm with my girlfriend Paris.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about the Disneyland Paris Park and the sort of best and worst designs from our experience over the last 2 years, which we've been around. How many times have we been?
About four times.
Four times in 2 years, which is great. It's been a lot of adventures, and it's been we've got a lot of knowledge, so a few opinions. So we're going to talk about the best and worst designs. So we'll take it in turn, probably do about three each, and sort of explain why. My third best design in the whole area is probably the Disneyland Hotel, which is the main hotel, which actually is part of the entrance to the park, for the Disneyland Park. It's sort of a very grand themed hotel, it's very detailed, it's got huge staircases, it's just grand, it's just got everything, the service. It just feels like if you were to sort of go into a fairy tale and you designed a hotel, that's what it would be. It's very expensive, hence why I've never stayed there. We hope to one day. But it's just, it feels like you're part of the park as well. You can get rooms that look over to the castle, rooms that look out into the other park.
And the gates are underneath.
Yeah. Top. And it's just one of those things where it's a real statement. And they've got a Mickey Mouse clock on the front. They have a huge garden outside as well, which is the Fantasia Gardens, which is part of the entrance as well. It doesn't feel like a hotel sometimes, it feels more like an attraction because it doesn't look that real until you walk in and you go, wow. So that's my number three. What's yours, Paris?
So my number three is the resort itself, so the layout of the resort.
Do you mean like the whole layout of the whole, all the parks and hotels?
Yeah, so the two parks, the hotels, Disney Village, which is a shopping area, one big part of it that I think is really good is the train station, way they designed the train station to come in right into the middle of the resort.
Yeah.
It's a mainland train station, so you can get trains straight from the centre of Paris into what was Euro Disney at the time. All of the hotels, unlike other Disney parks around the world, all of the hotels are within walking distance, all of the Disney resorts. And the way they've designed it is it's round like a lake, and the design that they've used makes every guest, bar the ones that are staying in the Disneyland Hotel, have to walk through their their shopping area, so their Disney Village. So on the way in or on the way back in the evenings, everyone's kind of funneled into the shopping bit. So I think that's a good design because probably promotes people to spend money on their way home and also their way in the morning.
Yeah, I think they've done it in a way where I think that's quite a good one. I didn't even think about the layout of the park, so that's a really good point. But you don't realise if you don't walk around there, like we tend to stay in hotels that are a little bit of a bus ride away, so we don't tend to stay in the other hotels, so we tend to not walk around that way. But we've actually gone out during the day and had a walk around this huge lake that has like three hotels around it, and there's like a little side passage that goes over to the fourth, and everything is so accessible. It's like no more than like a 20 minute walk from the furthest hotel till you get into the village. And once you're in the village, even though you're not in the park, you feel like you're there, because you've got fair enough, you've got Starbucks, you've got Disney shops and things like that, so I think
music and live music and bars
and restaurants, so it feels like that's an extension of Disney, and they kind of get you in, like you feel like you walk out your hotel, probably walk 5 minutes, you're in that village and you're sort of at Disney already, and it takes away all that sort of anxious waiting and queuing and things like that. You kind of feel like you're already there.
In the evenings when people are leaving the park, and then obviously some people are forced to leave, if there's anything that people didn't get during the day, or people don't go up and go back yet, then they get money off of people from still entering all of them shops and people end up buying stuff for the sake of just still spending time within Disney before they go back.
Yeah,
so
I think it's very commercial. It's a very commercial design, but it doesn't feel like the doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel like, oh god, they're making us walk through the shops. You kind of feel like this is what we do. We're at Disney, so it's really well done.
And the train station as well. It's not like you have to travel far from the train station.
Yeah, it's literally 5 minute walk, and you're in the village or to your hotel. Cool. So my number two for the best designed things in Disneyland Paris is actually a ride. It's the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. So I wasn't the biggest fan of it at first. I thought it was, it's not much of a thrill ride. It's not one of those things that chucks you over the edge of a cliff or like spins you up and down or etc etc. But I think I've kind of become one of the best rides there, where they've recently redone it. So they put an actual working Jack Sparrow, like robotic, in there.
Animatronic.
And is that what it's called? Animatronic. You know more than me. And they've got a few other characters from the film, which they didn't have previously. But it's just, even before you walk in, that you're in a place called Frontierland, which is, what, how would you describe Frontierland? Oh, is it not in Frontierland? What's it in?
No, it's in Adventureland.
So it's in a place called Adventureland, which is, well, how would you describe Adventureland?
Kind of jungle themed.
Okay, and it's in the sort of the corner of that, and as you walk in, you walk under a pirate sail, and to be honest, there's never been a huge queue when we've been there, but it looks like it could get long. But the theme, and it's very very dark as you walk in, there's candles everywhere, there's ropes everywhere, there's little pirate things everywhere, and you just feel like you're not in a, even if it's like 30 degrees sunny France,
I think we've waited in the queue for at least 40-45 minutes sometimes in the busy times, and even then when you're waiting in the queue line because of the theming, you don't feel like you're waiting in a queue. You feel like you're already, it's almost, the queue line is like the pre-show to the show.
Yeah.
So it's like being, Disney's really good at having a pre-show, so you'll go into a room and there'll be a film before the actual ride starts. And I think with Pirates of the Caribbean, their pre-show is their queuing area, because you've got the smells, like the music, so sounds and smells, and obviously being in the environment, it makes you feel like you're already in the Caribbean before. So the waiting goes down quick because of all the theming.
I think that's what Disney do better than probably anyone. Like, I think if you go to Thorpe Park, and I know there's not real themes in it, just thrill rides, but you feel like you're waiting in a queue. Whereas I think when you go into something like, there's like a Buzz Lightyear ride, which is really really good as well, it's got great theming, but the Pirates one, you kind of forget you're in 30 degree weather in France sometimes, and you go, well, I'm in a dingy cave.
I'm in the Caribbean.
Waiting for a ship.
Yeah.
And even when you get on the boat, it's a huge boat, holds about 15 people, something like that. And it's just literally an animatronic ride. You go around and you see these animatronics everywhere. Pirates fighting, fire going off, gunshots.
It's a drop. It's got two drops in it.
Yeah, so it's got two drops. It feels like you're going down, and it just, it's very detailed and it's very
submersive.
Yeah, I think everywhere you look is great. And the one big design that I really liked about it was actually when you first go on the ride and you move out, there's actually a restaurant. You actually go past a restaurant, so there's a restaurant called,
it was Blue Lagoon, it's now Captain Jack's.
So Captain Jack's, which is essentially, if you go to Captain Jack's and eat some food, you'll actually be next to the ride. So
you can watch the boats go around.
So it's a bit submersive, and you just go, like, there's a restaurant in this ride, and you go around the corner and there's Jack Sparrow laughing and joking, and you've got Captain Barbosa and things like that. And it's just, everywhere you look, up, down, left, right, there's just complete detail and things going on all the time. So that was why it was my number two. What about you, Paris? What are your number two?
My number two is kind of on the same wavelength as my first one. So whereas my first option was the layout of the whole resort, my second one is the layout of the parks.
Okay.
So
what, just both parks? Or?
I like the fact that the second park is so close to the first, and that was a design that I think works favourably for Disneyland Paris in comparison to American parks, where everything's so much bigger and you've got to travel to it. But what I actually went with for my second choice is the layout of the actual park, so Disneyland Park.
Yeah.
So if you was to look at on a map at an aerial view of the park, It kind of works a little bit as a spider's web.
Yeah.
So you've got like the main Liberty Square walking area underneath the railway. So you come in from underneath the Disneyland Hotel, which is where the ticket machines and the barriers are, and then you go under the Disneyland Railway station at the front, and then you enter Liberty Square, and straight ahead of you is Main Street, and you can see right the way down to the castle. If you look on a map and look from above, the map looks a bit spiderwebby, and it's because every land that they have made here comes off of that main area.
Yeah.
So unlike, I'm hazard of guessing, but places like Fort Park and stuff, you haven't got lands or areas behind areas. Everything's accessible from that main front kind of thing. So you don't have like a place behind a place behind a place behind a place. It's where you come in is very central. Another really, really well thought out thing, especially for the European market, with Disneyland, with the layout, is in unlike in especially the American parks, Disneyland Paris actually has arcades. So in America, the park's layout is that you would only have Main Street at the front, and when you get down to the castle, that's when you have all the lands kind of spidering off. In Disneyland Paris, you walking down Main Street isn't your only option to get down to like the hub, which is where the grass in front of the castle.
Yeah.
You also have arcades each side, so behind the shops there's indoor arcade routes. There's one on either side of the park.
So an arcade route is not a game.
No, so it's like it's a walkway. It's like a walkway through the shops.
Yeah.
In the American parks they don't have this because that's all kind of a back of house shop area.
Yeah.
But in France they created this area because of the unreliability of the weather.
Yeah.
With me and you have actually experienced this where the weather's been not great, and we've ducked into the arcades and kind of scurried out of the park that way.
Yeah.
Opposed to walking down Main Street and having to like walk through the rain to try and get down the front. Another really, really good thing about that layout is when there's something busy going on, like the nighttime show or the parades, when Main Street gets really, really packed and you can barely wiggle through, you can use the two arcades on either side as kind of an exit route.
So just going to ask you, because two of your sort of best designs has just been layout.
Mm.
Why do you think that is like important to you, that the layout's that good, and why did you choose that over, I don't know, a ride or a certain land or a certain object? Like why was layout the most sort of thing that sort of stood out to you?
The first one that pops into my head is, for me it's really hard to choose one attraction over another, honest opinion.
Okay.
Because I do feel like Disney's all the original rides that aren't based on IPs and the rides that they've since made from IPs, the intellectual properties, if you don't know what IP means. So if it's film based or prior film based rides, I think all of them are well thought out.
Yeah.
And for me it's quite hard to choose, but as a whole the rides are really, really good, but Disney's thought out, the Imagineers created the park to work in a certain way, and I think there's a lot more thought's gone into them than, I don't know, the local fairground down the road, and it works.
Yeah, I think with Disney, it's like, I never would have thought of layout because, I don't know, I just sort of thought of things that were designed well, not, I think how I thought about the design is what things look like, whereas I think you thought about in designs and how well do actually designs work.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So you thought of someone's design, how this is laid out, and this is how well it works, where I've gone like, Pirates of the Caribbean, the ride is like, is the details great, is this, is that, so it's interesting to sort of get a different perspective.
There was a study, and I couldn't quote you the person, but there was a study that I looked at a few years ago, and it was to do with zoos and the footfall that they'd have in zoos, and this gentleman obviously did a study and recorded that. I can't quote you the exact percentage, but it was 90 something percent of people turned right as they entered the collection.
Yeah.
And I think that from that moment on, and doing that kind of project myself and looking into that the actual design of areas interests
you
me.
Notice,
and,
you notice
and,
it more, yeah.
The one thing Disney has done is it doesn't let you make that one direction choice until you're right down into the centre of the park.
Yeah.
So you don't walk in and you don't have the option to turn left or right.
Have to go forward,
you have to go straight and you have to pass. You have to get yourself right in the centre of the park before you can make your decision. And it doesn't matter whether you go left or right, whether you take that common route of left or right, you will end up doing a full circle. It's,
yeah.
You, Disney didn't want to design it so you missed anything, and I think they did that well, because even if you start off in Frontierland, you're going to end up in Discoveryland.
I don't think there's ever been a day where we haven't walked around it.
Around the whole thing.
You end up, unless you turn around, you're not going to...
Yeah, there's no kind of...
You can't miss anything by doing it.
There's no little nooks and crannies that go off of the circle, so I just find the layout of the park...
Yeah, I think with the layout, there's things like... I think the Indiana Jones ride is really hidden and things like that. I think that's the only thing they can improve. And there's a thing where they used to have a Pizza Planet, that area. I think obviously you're going to probably redo things in that area, but no, I think I agree. Right, so let's move on to number one. So I think the best designed thing in the whole of Disney in Paris is the castle. So it is a princess castle. What princess is it?
Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty, it's pink. And I remember the first time I ever went, which was a couple of years ago, I walked in, I was like, oh my God. Because you see all these castles in Disney films and you see them in pictures and things like that, but when you actually sit, you're like, wow, I don't think there's really anything like you can compare it to.
No.
Like, I think you can look at landmarks like the Eiffel Tower, you can look at things like Big Ben and go, wow, from a distance they're amazing, but this is honestly like, it's mad. Like, there's a fantasy castle that you can go in. I mean, there's got shops in it, and you can go upstairs, and there's like theming for the actual story, and you can go outside and get a really good view of the park from the back. But it's just amazing, and I was just like blown away. Just even the detail.
Yeah, before, I mean, I will say now that was my number one as well.
Yeah. Why was that your number one?
It was my number one for a lot of the same reasons as you.
Yeah.
Disney Imagineers actually refer to it as a weenie. And
what, sorry?
A weenie.
Okay.
And to be a weenie, they want you to be able to walk into the park and it be the one thing that you can see, and it's something that you gravitate towards. And I think they also used the art of false perspective and having like small turrets and stuff on top that makes you feel like they're full size when you're far away.
Yeah.
It looks a lot bigger than it actually is, so
yeah.
When you get close to it, even though the turrets wouldn't fit a human in them the way you think they would, it still like kind of towers over you.
I think it's really well done as well, because I think like just the whole, it's got like a lake around it, it's got mounds of grass, and it's got, there's even an underground bit where there's a dragon.
Yeah, that's no other park's got that.
Yeah,
so that's pretty
and it's
cool.
Just, I mean, I think you're right, once you get up close, it probably doesn't feel as like ginormous as you thought, but when you walk in and you walk through Main Street and you can see it, it's amazing. And I think if anyone that's been to Disney Paris or anyone that knows anyone, I think every single person must have had a picture in front of that castle, and you can't say that about everything else in that park. You can't say everyone's had a picture in front of the Star Wars ride, everyone's had a picture in front of Main Street, they haven't. Like, that castle, yes. 100 million percent.
And another couple of interesting, I mean, they're quite cool facts, but interesting things about that castle is that when you look at the castles in America, they're quite bland, whereas Disneyland Paris' castle is pink. And the reason they did that is because of the sky colour in France, 90% of the time is grey.
Yeah.
So they weren't going to make their castle white and blue.
Because it'll blend in.
So that's pretty cool. And also in Europe, we're quite lucky that we have a lot of castles.
Yeah.
So same as in France, they've got a lot of castles and estates of the same. So unlike in America, they had to make it look like something out of a fairy tale, opposed to just a castle. So But also as well as just making it a bit obscure and off the wall, they also put traditional things in, like it's one of the only castles that actually has a moat.
Yeah.
So with the drawbridge and bits like that. But I could kick myself for not knowing the designer's name now. But there was a
yeah, we can look into
there
that.
Was, there was
yeah.
a guy who did all of the artwork for Sleeping Beauty. And in his artwork for Sleeping Beauty, he did all of it, like the square tree topiary and stuff.
Oh, right.
And when you look at this castle, although it has like the moat and the turrets and does look like quite a traditional castle with the basics, on the hill next to it, it has like the square topiary trees, and
yeah.
it looks, if you was to take a picture from the film and then take a picture of the actual castle,
yeah.
you can see the like really big similarities between that gentleman's artwork and what they actually did. So that's really cool, because they brought like a part of the story to life, opposed to just saying this is so and so's castle.
Yeah.
It actually looks like a part of a film.
I think it's one of those designs as well where from every angle it looks good.
Mm.
Like what they've done. Like I think the side of the castle, there's like loads of hills and little mounds of trees on. I mean, me and you've had pictures from that side, looks great. Pictures from the front where you can see like the draw, it's supposed to be like a bridge, drawbridge, isn't it? And then you go from another side where they do some shows, it looks great. And from the back, like it's a little bit different from the back. But it's got stairs and leading up to it, and there's like characters outside it. I think it's absolutely like incredible. But yeah.
So cool. That was my number one.
That was my number one as well, so at least we agree on that. And next we're going to talk about our worst designs. So yeah, we're going to talk about a few things, we just probably like a couple each,
mm-hmm.
On things we'd improved in design wise in actually any of the parks or lands.
Least favourite
like
designs.
Yes. So I'm going to name them both because they're sort of in the same vicinity and sort of these, the same sort of reasons. It's actually Hollywood Studios, which is the second park, and Disney Village.
Oh, they're my ones.
They're your ones as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can just discuss it together. I'll talk about the second one I put. So Hollywood Studios is very different to Disneyland Paris Park. It's sort of got a film set vibe. It's very boxy. It just doesn't feel as inviting. I think it's weird when you talk about layout, because
it hasn't really got
it long. Doesn't have a layout. Like you can walk in, like you walk in, I think the entrance is actually really good. You walk in and it says, what does it say? Like,
it's through Studio One.
Studio One. So you walk through Studio One, which is like restaurant shops. Feels quite cool. You walk in and then you walk out and there's like a statue of Mickey and Walt, which is, what's it called?
It's a partner statue. Partner statue. Before you get to that point, yeah. The Studio One is good. So you actually go into a courtyard first.
Yeah.
In the courtyard, there's shops, which is quite good because you've got all of the barriers and it brings people out into an open space. Studio One is good because it brings them inside, the weather's unreliable, they've got shops and places to eat.
Yeah.
But the downside to that is you're funneling potentially a large capacity of people into one tiny walkway.
Yeah.
Which in peak time, especially when we've gone for rope drop in the morning, even you and I have found that you do get a bit of a stampede in there. So the design of that entrance for me, that's just one of my points.
Yeah.
I think you get funneled into a very small space. I don't quite like that.
And I think as soon as you leave that studio, I think that's where it goes downhill. You can go left, you can go straight, you can go right. And in all honesty, we've been in that park probably a quarter of the time we've spent in the other park.
Mm.
Just because there's probably only two or three rides we've really been on and enjoyed.
Mm.
And because there's only a limited amount of sort of adult rides, like there's a Crush's Coaster one, which is a roller coaster, there's a Ratatouille ride, which is like a 3D ride, and there's like a Toy Story Land, which has got a Slinky, and it's got like an army parachute drop. It doesn't really sort of appeal
to us that much.
To us, but also, if it does appeal to people, everyone goes there and they're always packed.
Yeah, it's a proper early 2000s park.
Yeah.
It's referred to quite a lot in the community as a concrete jungle park, and I think that's where they maybe let themselves down, is it's not a lot of theming.
I think
you don't get like the smell-o-vision, you don't get like the smells from different places.
Yeah, it's the theming
it's
as well. I don't
bland
think
park.
Like, there's the ride, the Crushes Coast Ride, which is, to your Finding Nemo, it's always a huge queue, and they literally have a queue in the park. When you get inside for about 10 minutes, and it's quite well themed when you're getting on the ride.
The queue is just turned back.
The bore for it is literally, you're literally walking in circles, queuing up for an hour. And I think they've put a Wi-Fi game in there you can play, which you can never get on half the time.
No, I've heard that that's not working anymore.
So they know it's a bit boring. But just think, in the whole park, like, it's just things like the pavements are really wide.
Yeah.
Everything's really spaced out, and it just feels like they're trying to make it seem as if, like, everything sort of should be, it feels like everything's cordoned off. It doesn't feel like things move in, like, you go into Paris Park, it kind of lands move into each other. And
yeah, Disney seem almost normally kind of suggestive of where you should walk.
Yeah.
When you come out of Studio One, I mean, naturally we kind of prove that philosophy right that I said about earlier, and we do go right all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's through it being kind of in our brains to go right, or
because
really
we know
there's
that's the rides.
Yeah, there's not much
on
the
you
left.
If you go left, there's what?
You've got to walk a long way until you
not
get to
great,
something.
And there might be an Aerosmith ride at the end of it, which is a good ride, but it's not amazing.
So I think the main point is for me on the design is they've got quite a big space and they haven't utilised the space. They've left a lot of it open. And
I think the main thing with that park you need to mention is they are redesigning it. They're putting a Star Wars land in.
Yeah, spending billions. So there's going to be a Star Wars, Marvel, and an Arendelle, so a Frozen area.
Yeah. So it's going to have a lake in the middle as well. Yeah. So it feels like they're actually going to go for it and make it look a bit better. And then the main one, which I think is the worst design thing in that whole area, is the Disney...
Village as a whole.
So Disney Village is basically outside of both parks. You can go there if you're not Disney, and you can essentially drink, eat, go and see a show, go to the cinema, go to a shop. They've got little stands that sell pretzels and things like that. It's not themed.
No.
It's a bit boring. There's loads of different brands. It's not that big.
No. Years and years ago when I went a couple of times, I was lucky enough to go a couple of times when I was a child, they had like a stage up outside where the sports bar is now, and they used to have live music at night time, and now that area is literally an outdoor drinking and smoking area. And even though I said earlier I think that it's a good idea that you have to walk through this area from the resorts or to and from, and it promotes like spending money and kind of selling merchandise and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that the space, when you look at the competitors like Disney Springs and stuff, then there's not enough going on there. So
I think it's one of those things as well where you walk through and it when you go through Disney, the arcade or the main, like essentially Main Street, when you walk into one of the parks, is shops and restaurants, right?
And variety
and things like that. So it's basically the same principle as Disney Village, that area. Like, it's there to get that. Whereas they do it in such a well-done, themed way. It doesn't feel like you're walking for a shop. It feels like you're having an experience. Whereas you walk through Disney Village, there's like a Lego shop, and there are Disney shops, but they're very old.
And the variety
basic.
Of food.
Yeah.
So every...
It's like American.
Everything's the same, but the actual design of the walkway, whereas Disney Studios, we want it to be a bit more compact and themed.
Yeah.
The openness that they've got in there, I think, would be quite appreciated in Disney Village, because there's no open spaces. If it's busy there when you leave the park at 11 o'clock at night, I can assume that families with pushchairs and stuff just wouldn't want to hang around when you've got thousands of people kind of funneling through that area.
And I mean, we've struggled to get into places to eat. We've sat in, there's like a sports bar that have a huge screen on, and I think for a Disney you'd think they'd have Disney films on or something, but they literally show sports, which is, they're a sports bar, but then Disney have allowed,
and Disney are really good at theming, so there's nothing actually in Disney Village that is themed like Disney.
Yeah.
So the design of the places and stuff is, there's some Disney lanterns hanging from the sky, and other than that, it's...
But they are redoing it, aren't they? They are going to redo it.
Supposedly, yeah.
Okay, so I think they've realised.
Yeah.
They should listen to this and then realise.
Yeah, I think they've realised their design is a bit dated, and also the space that they're giving, the capacity of guests isn't enough.
I think the big thing with Disney Village is that I don't know whether Disney's or when they half did it, because you can go in there without paying and go into the park, they probably thought, why should we spend so much money on theming and an experience and you haven't paid to get in?
Yeah, I think because it's kind of, it's called Disneyland Paris, but it's not actually, it's about 20, 25 minutes, half an hour away from Paris.
Yeah.
It's actually nearer smaller communities of like French countryside. So I think I think they built it thinking it was going to be a destination in the evening for French residents.
Yeah.
So with that, you probably do get a lot of French people watching sports in the sports bar, and it probably deters a lot of resort guests.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's what we thought of the design at Disney, good and bad.
Thank you.
Thank you. So that was Paris and me talking about the designs at Disneyland Paris Park, the best and worst. I thought the interesting thing coming from Paris was that she spoke about layout from her experience in the past, talking about zoo layouts when she was at university. It's something I've never actually really thought about. I sort of think of design as visual and emotional and how people sort of perceive things going forward in front of them. But actually to think of the bigger picture, like designs for layouts are probably the most key things in the parks. If the parks weren't laid out how they were, you'd miss things, like she said. So going forward, it's something I'm definitely going to be looking at in designs. And I think it does really affect how people perceive things and how actually people will see things. If the layout was bad, you wouldn't have a great experience. If the layout was good, it's like anything. It's like shopping centres and other theme parks and holidays and airports. So yeah, so I'm glad this went well and I really enjoyed it. Thanks, bye.